Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, and I can't believe I'm saying this, the third day of October, Anno Domini 2020, and you, you possibly lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Vendray.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And at 7 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things you choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. As you heard, we have Dennis Worcester.
That's
God
right.
Bless him. He's always welcome here, and he's sitting in for the lovely and talented Steve Ray.
Right.
Who is one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Southwest. If he gets a signal in the dead-end canyons and hole-in-the-wall places he's hiding in, he'll give us a call maybe. But
he's going to let us know he's okay. He's going to hold up today's newspaper and take a selfie and send it to us.
So we'll know he's fine. In the meantime, if you're on the line, please stay on the line. If you're not on the line, why not? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415, or text us at 585-205-8887. But give us the information we need if you're going to text us so that we can actually answer your question. In the meantime, I will read this week's news, or at least one of the items. On Wednesday, Google had its virtual launch event for new products called Launch Night In. Four new products were introduced. For phones, Google introduced the Pixel 5 and the Pixel 4a 5G. The Pixel 5 isn't a huge flagship phone. It's 6 inches and has a Qualcomm Snapdragon 765G, 8 gig of RAM, 128 gig of storage, and a 4,080 milliamp hour battery, which is nice. You get an 18 watt charging and wireless charging too, which works in reverse. So you can charge your other wireless devices, like your Pixel Buds, from your phone.
Oh, cool. That's nice.
So that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, you can put them into your pocket together.
Yeah, and then there they are, all charged up.
Hmm.
The display has a punch hole for the front camera and a 1080p resolution with frame rates up to 90 hertz. It supports HDR. It's OLED. The back cameras are standard 12.2 megapixel and 16 megapixel ultra wide. The front camera is 8 megapixels. The whole phone is IPX8 certified, which I think means you could take it to Mars. I'm pretty sure that's what it means.
Is that the water?
Water and dust.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Ingress.
Yeah.
Resistance.
It has an aluminum back, Gorilla Glass 6 covering, comes in black and green.
You know, no actual gorillas were harmed in the making of the Gorilla Glass, and that's
right up there with Gorilla Glue.
That's right.
Right, right. Priced at $699, it's a lot cheaper than earlier Pixel phones. The Pixel 4a 5G costs $499, which is about $150 more than the non-5G version that was released in August. It has a larger, I don't know that, well, I'll talk about 5G later.
Yeah.
It has a larger 6.2-inch display with a resolution of 2340 by 1080, a faster Qualcomm Snapdragon 765G processor, which is the same one that's in the Pixel 5 now, and a bigger 3,885 milliamp hour battery than the old one. And yes, it still has the 3.5 millimeter headphone jack.
Still?
The crowd goes wild. It has a soft touch polycarbonate unibody too, and no Corning Gorilla Glass 6 cover glass. Like the Pixel 4a, the 5G variant does not have the wireless charging or water resistance. It still has the 4a's 6G of RAM, 6 gig of RAM, and 128 gig of storage. And it has a 16 megapixel ultra wide rear facing camera.
Okay.
Try saying that even once fast. Google has a new speaker replacing the original Google Home with something new, the Nest Audio. The speaker's covered in fabric, which is made from recycled plastic. It stands about 7 inches tall and 5 inches wide, just mm-hmm. under that, actually. Control is via tap areas at the top of the speaker, which is, and it has a physical mute button on the back. Although most interaction will be via voice using Google Assistant. It's 75% louder than the old Google Home, which was dang loud to begin with.
Yeah.
Bass is 50% stronger, and bass was good on the old one. The Nest Audio also features a media EQ function that will auto-tune the sound to the media you're listening to, be that podcasts, audiobooks, music, or whatever. It'll be priced at $99. Google also introduced the Chromecast with Google TV, its latest TV streaming device. It's a simple and slimline dongle that plugs directly into the HDMI. And the HDMI port as well. So you have a choice there.
Yeah.
The HDMI port.
It's all about choices.
Right. And it takes its power from USB.
Okay.
You can add all your streaming apps, Netflix. God in heaven. I cannot talk today.
You're going to have to
start a new mouth?
I brush my teeth, can't do a thing with it. Netflix, Prime Video, HBO Max, etc. It controls everything with a single remote.
Okay.
This remote also is Google Assistant with voice input.
Uh-huh.
The neat thing is that Assistant works across all the apps and aggregates them. So you can, for example, say, show me all the Batman movies.
Right, right.
And it'll show them in every app that you've got.
Yeah.
You can just say, oh, I picked that one.
Right. Well, you know, I think that's becoming a very common thing. I think the other competitors are doing a very similar thing.
Yeah.
The former bookseller that begins with an A has that. And the other fruit company that begins with an A has a very similar thing.
Yep. Now, if Roku would get it.
Yes.
And then you just pick the one. It costs $49.99.
Okay.
$50. I mean, let's be honest.
Those are very competitive prices,
that's
really.
Ridiculously.
Especially going into the holiday season.
And you can, for $89.99, you can get it with YouTube TV.
Okay. Which is the cable TV subscription replacement.
Right.
The internet.
Did that have a SD card slot?
Yeah, I was going to ask that too.
Micro SD?
And the phones, did they have a
I do not think they do. I do not think they do.
I was wondering whether they were going to add that option.
The 4A might, but I don't think the 5 does.
Sometimes.
Anyway, all of this stuff is now available for pre-order.
Okay.
But it won't ship for a month or more. And our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is my favorite new Google product is, and your choices, of course, are Pixel 5, Pixel 4a 5G, Nest Audio, Chromecast with Google TV, I Want Them All, None of the Above, Thanks, and Other. So far, we have 62 votes in Chromecast with Google TV. Is number one. I've ordered one myself.
Uh-huh.
Just because I want it. That's why I ordered it. Followed by None of the Above, Thanks. Followed closely by I Want Them All. And then the Pixel 5 got 9 votes and nothing else got anything. If you did say Other, please head on over to our website at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And scroll down on the...
Did need some stimulation, so it was good that you took the time to help stimulate that economy.
That's exactly what I did. Scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff, you'll see the forums. And if you click on that, the second forum down is the poll discussion. And currently the number one item under poll discussion is 3 Oct 20, my favorite new Google product. And, of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415, or text us at 585-205-8887.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, I'm really looking for it. Won't show up until the middle or end of October, but I ordered one of those Chromecast things
I
live in the Google world, but I'm also, you know, I've got enough remotes.
Yes.
I think I'm done with my remotes.
Right.
So we'll see how this one works.
That's nice. What's nice about the newer TVs coming out now?
Yeah.
With the built-in sling and all that other stuff, there's still now only one remote.
Right.
And it's got everything in there. You can go to your regular channels or swing over to any of the built-in apps, whether you're doing Sling, Hulu, all that. Roku is already built into it.
Right, right, right.
And if you haven't tried one of those remotes that has a microphone built in where you press the little button
They're
and
amazing.
Then you say what you want to see,
yeah,
boy, is that an easy way to find your favorite program and not have to go and type in scroll, 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 click T, scroll, 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 click H,
yep.
Scroll, scroll, scroll. You know, you can get to it so much
Every
more
time
quickly.
I do it, I think there's got to be a better way to do this. And then I think... There is. I just haven't bought it yet.
Well,
that's the problem.
Well, that's life.
Speaking of features and that, one other thing I just discovered with my Sling is that it comes now with 10 hours of recording.
Right.
Ah, uh-huh. So it's like a DVR
capability. Yeah, so, because the wife was wondering, she goes, you know, I'd like to, because she likes to watch her news programs, mm-hmm. and at night, I don't want to see that anymore. You know, it's yes. too much. So she sits there, I says, can we record any of this? So I looked into it, and it's like, duh.
Yeah, right.
It's been going on, I guess, for a while. Yeah, I get 10 hours for free right now.
Okay.
If I want to go up to 50 hours, you know, of recording, it's a whole $5 a month.
Yeah, right.
So they record it at their end and then play it back to you?
Yeah, you can yeah. just okay. it's sit there on your menu, and you can select it. And then once you've watched it, it gives you the option to delete it.
That sounds like a very sling thing, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, they're all doing that. I mean, Google TV, or is it YouTube TV or Google TV now? I don't know which they're branding it as.
Call and let us know.
Yeah, call and let us know if you know. Google TV lets you have unlimited DVR for 9 months.
Well, oh.
No, you have unlimited DVR because they're recording everything anyway.
Right, right.
Yeah. They're Google. It's not like they don't have disk space.
Yes.
Yeah,
like everything is recorded for 9 months. So I can record something today and watch it, you know, 8.5 months from now.
Next summer.
Yeah, next summer.
Right.
And that's ridiculously cool, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
But yeah. Anyway, that's what they did, and that was their Google event. I was very disappointed that there were no Chromebooks, but I guess we'll get there eventually. And speaking of eventually, we've had Greg waiting on the phone very patiently from Fairport, New York. Hiya, Greg. What's up?
Howdy. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How are
you? Good. I've been listening to you for a long time. The last time I called, I mentioned the battery on my 286 had died, so my wife was going to let me buy a Pentium.
Wow,
I think
you're old.
If she'd marry him. Anyway, I'm now running a 10-year-old home-built computer with an updated video card, Windows 10, the 2004 version with all updates. Thursday morning, the computer was frozen on a Chrome page that I'd been reading the night before. Control-Alt-Delete didn't work. The reset button wouldn't work. I had mouse but no keyboard, so I had to power it down. And since then, when I've tried to start Windows, I get the blue screen of death. System kernel exception not handled with no file name or further codes. But safe mode works. So
oh.
I've tried a bunch of things, if you'd like to hear what I've tried, to see if I
yeah.
can resolve it. Okay, I've disabled all startup items, both including and excluding the Microsoft services, in MS Config and Task Manager, and rebooted.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing this accomplished was to disable the keyboard until I re-enabled stuff and rebooted again. System file checker reports no problems. Memory test reports no problems. The long version of check disk with the /R parameter took almost 6 hours to chug through my hard drive, but it didn't make any difference. The device manager has a lot of yellow triangles, but all but one of them say can't report status because you're in safe mode or driver's not loaded because
right.
you're
yeah,
in safe mode.
Right, yeah, that's normal. Right.
The only exception was the Microsoft Hyper-V virtualization driver, which just said unable to load drivers but didn't mention safe mode.
Now, what right. version of Windows did you say you're running, 10?
Yeah, Windows 10 2004.
Okay. What you might suggest, I just had to go through this last night, my Windows 10 machine, stupid update, almost bricked my machine. But what I did is I went back to a restore point. And if you go down into the window and say restore points, it'll bring them up. And you can go back a couple, you know, it'll show you the list of restored points before this update. And you can select one of those and go backwards. Because like we've said, a lot of these Windows updates, they're using you as a guinea pig to beta test their updates.
Right. But because you can get into safe mode with no problem.
Right.
I suspect it's an incompatible device driver. Because
mm-hmm.
safe mode doesn't load a lot of device
no,
drivers.
No, it's bare minimum.
So what you might do is in safe mode, uninstall any devices you don't absolutely need. Particularly if you have external things like an external drive or you know, any of that sort of thing.
Let Windows find it again.
Right, and then see with those things unplugged and the device drivers uninstalled, reboot into regular mode and see if that works. If it does, then you can start adding things back until one of them borks your system.
Yeah, in other words, all those devices that are in yellow, you can take them out. You know, just you know, uninstall them. And what will happen is when you reboot, Windows is going to refine those and see if it can find the correct ones.
Right, because what often happens with Windows, and, you know, Microsoft's only had, what, 40 years to fix this. What often happens with Windows is that it looks at the fact that you have a device driver, not at whether that device driver works with that version of Windows. So if they've done an update to some system in the kernel that cannot use an older driver, they don't seem to care. I can't put it any more plainly than that, I think.
Right.
They don't flag that and they don't fix it. So it's up to you to remove all of those device drivers, reboot, and Windows will find them again and hopefully load a compatible device driver this time.
I'll give that a try. Right. I did try the restore the Windows recovery disk.
Yeah.
And one of the options on that was to roll back to a previous restore point, and it, after about an hour, it said unable to fix.
Well, if
but
normally, if you go to the little window in the lower left-hand corner and type in restore, what is it, or recovery points.
Recovery points, okay.
Or, yeah, recovery points, and it'll bring up a list of different recovery points. It shows you where you've installed or maybe uninstalled different programs, and it'll also show where it did updates. You can select one of those and try rolling back to that particular one.
Terrific. That's a good thing to try. Although, in the last last resort, my wife says, if I need to buy or build a new computer with an RTX 3080, it's okay with her.
Well, you are running a 10-year-old machine.
Yeah, it's probably due.
It might not hurt to do that.
Yeah, I'd say if it's okay with her, it's okay with us.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then you just
I was hoping you'd tell me it was a hardware problem, but I didn't think it was.
It's a hardware problem. Yeah. It's absolutely a hardware problem. My suggestion, that one goes in the canal and you build a new one.
No, what the thing of it is yes, that one is literally, and no lie, you are running a new operating system on very old stuff. It's limping along. What I would recommend is do like your wife says, get the newer machine, and then this one you reformat and just try Simply Linux or some other, you know,
Cloud Ready from Neverware.
Cloud Ready, yeah, all of those, and play around with that while you've got a new Windows machine.
What you do is you go to your wife and you say, honey, I've tried everything I can, and I'm defeated. You're right. I'll buy a new machine.
Yeah, it works.
The other thing is to make sure the windows are open and to emphasize very loudly the "you're right" part. Honey,
right.
You were right.
That's
no,
right.
You put your phone on record.
You're right. Video.
Yeah.
And then you
anyway,
send it to her.
There you go.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank
Good luck.
You.
Let us know how you make out.
All right, thank you.
Take
All
care.
Right, before
Bye-bye.
We go to the texts, I just want to say that last week's show, Will from Hampton, PA, called about keeping a window open when running a Python script. He said, and there's a possible solution in the forums. If you look down, if you go to soundbites.org and look down on the left under recent forum topics,
it's called
Python Windows Stay Open.
Is that Will from Hampton, Virginia?
Yes, Will from Hampton, Virginia.
That's who texted us, too.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, very good.
But he has a different thing. He was saying, okay, I gave up on the early adapter with deep pockets. Who is paying that much money for a smartphone? Believe it or not, a lot of folks.
A lot of people, because for a lot of people, it's their only computing device.
Yeah.
And it's directly connected to relatively fast networking, and it lives in your pocket, so it's the most personal, one of the most personal devices you have. And people are willing to spend the money where their attention is.
Well, look what they pay for iPhones.
Yep,
sure.
And that's a fact. The web, every web designer will now tell you the web is
mobile
phone
first. Yeah,
exactly right. Mobile first, and if you're not designing your website for mobile, you're losing a good. Well over 50% of your audience. Anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And if you needed to choose between spending money on a laptop or a phone, where are you going to prioritize your dollars?
Exactly right.
You're going to prioritize it with what's the most valuable to you. And that portability is more valuable to many, many people than anything else.
Many people spend all day on their phones, and everything else is secondary.
Right.
A lot of students I see have a laptop, but that's because it's so much easier to take notes
sure.
in class mm-hmm. with a keyboard.
Right.
But once they're done with class, that notebook goes into their bag, and they're walking around with their phones.
That's true.
Just because they have a laptop doesn't mean they use the laptop.
That's true. Well, and I do know of some columnists that will bring their phone to an event where they need to take notes and then pull out a Bluetooth keyboard and pair that.
Yep.
So that they have, admittedly, a much smaller screen, but that they can still do that full-speed typing that they want to do.
Right. All right. I think we answered. Did we answer Will's question? I think mm-hmm. we did.
Yeah.
Will, check the thing. It's basically a /K thing, but you'll see it. You'll see it in the forums.
It'll make sense when you get there. Yeah.
Yeah. That might help you with your Python question. And we'll go back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Hi, Mark. What's up?
Hey, guys. When Dave was talking about Sling TV.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of people that are leery to switch because they can't get the channels they want and all that stuff. My personal problem with Spectrum is not only pricing, but I can't get my stupid DVR to hold a picture. I mean, I'll be watching a show, and the channel just goes off, and it doesn't tune in, and then I've got to turn the box off, turn it back on, or sometimes have to reboot the box and miss what I'm recording. Sometimes channels don't buffer at all, so they won't record.
Yeah.
And I've got an enhanced DVR, which has 6 tuners in it, and I don't ever use all the 6 tuners, maybe 4 or 5 at the most, if I'm having
right.
a good day. But now I do see they offer, which a lot of people don't know, they do offer cloud DVR.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to pay for their equipment anymore, and you've got a Roku or an Apple TV or a few other Samsung TVs past 2012, you can use their app, and you can get the cloud DVR, and it's a lot cheaper.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
It's a lot cheaper. I mean, they're only charging, I think, $4.95. If you only want to save your recordings for 90 days.
Right.
And I think you can record up to 12 shows.
Hmm. Right.
And you can do 3 streams outside of your house.
Right.
It's amazing how internet friendly they have become.
Well, until and unless they put data caps on.
Well, yes. Mm-hmm. That is the persistent threat, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
If they put data caps in, I'm going to be the first one around here to make that 76% that we're at with green light go yeah. 100.
Yep.
I will be the sole person to do it.
I wouldn't. I tell you what, I wouldn't wait. I'd make sure you start talking to your neighbors about it now.
It's crazy because, I mean, I know my brother lives on the other side of the country, but at least his data cap is 1 terabyte.
Okay.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's considerable.
That's a reasonable cap. Not 20 gigs.
No, it isn't. I think no cap is reasonable, frankly.
Let's put it this way. If I had to have a cap, that's the one I'd push for.
You know? All right, listen. Thanks, Mark. We got to take a break.
Thanks.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worcester, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 30 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Holy cow, that means it must be Sound Bites right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you because we are member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in just a couple of minutes.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Before we go any farther, let me remind you, we used to do Soundbites in Second Life, Sunday nights at 9 p.m.
Right.
What we are now testing is Sound Bites on Jitsi.
Okay.
And so you will see a link. And Jitsi is like Zoom. It's just another video chat service. We're trying Jitsi. We may move to another one at some point. But If you go to our website, soundbites.org, bites with a Y, you will find the second link down is Soundbites on Jitsi. And if you go there now, you'll just see an announcement that says it's not time. But if you go there at 9 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, there will be a portal into the video chat.
What is Jitsi?
It's like Zoom. It's just another video chat.
Conferencing tool.
Right. Just for other folks.
Right. So if you would like to join us, we know that there are issues with Jitsi. One issue is if too many people come in, the video signal starts to degrade. We understand that. So if it gets too popular, we'll move to another platform. But right now, Jitsi is free, and it's got an API, so I could create the portal and yada, yada, yada. So we're trying right. that, hey, and it's unlimited free. Amount of time, and it's free, and it's yada, yada.
Yeah, so, we'll give it a shot.
Yeah, so if you're interested in joining us, Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern, it's socially distant, and you don't have to have a Second Life account to do it. And we're giving that a try. It's an experiment. We'd love to have you join us doing that. Like I said, the link and all of the deets, as you kids say,
mm-hmm.
are on our website at soundbites.org.
And it looks like there's apps for iOS and Android and Droid. And
yeah, everybody has an app, so yeah, it shouldn't be a problem.
Cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Are there desktop apps too, or is it just for mobile devices?
It works through your browser.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, in fact, if it were Sunday at 9 p.m., you could go on the phone and actually look at it through your browser as well.
I see. Okay. All right.
So it's just easier. It's actually easier.
This is new to me. I'm learning. It's good that I came in here.
Well, you should probably go to my website and head over to nickf.com/videochat.php and take a look at all of the video chat products.
I think I will.
That are out there.
I can't believe I'm not there already.
I can't believe you're not there. And when you're done with that, go to asknick.com/backup.php and look at all the backup options that are out there for people.
I do love good backups.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't? All right, we have some texts.
We're good.
I have nobody doing anything. All right. So in that case.
Want. Hey, did you hear about the New York State COVID tracking app?
Why, no, Mr. Interlocutor. Tell us. You get that.
Pray
joke.
Tell, what is it all about?
So the big fruit company Apple and Google got together several months ago to try and develop a way to do exposure notification for COVID among people, because people tend to kind of swarm in different areas and with different groups, and they wanted a way to help you be notified if you were exposed to someone in relatively close proximity for a reasonable length of time where it could be an issue for you. So they created a framework of a computer code that people could use and develop their own application to do that. And some states in the U.S. did do this, and New York was one of the ones that took a little bit longer to do that. And this past week, they have released a app that you can use on iOS and Android. And when you use it, it uses Bluetooth to tell you when you are it keeps track of people you've been nearby, and it generates a unique number for you and a unique number for me and a unique number for everyone else. And it doesn't attach this to your name at all. But if someone happens to test positive for COVID, the contact tracers can ask for your number, and then you can press a button that will notify the people who have been nearby you recently that they themselves may want to get tested. So it's a way to try and help keep everyone safer. And the more people that use it, the better it's going to work. So I definitely wanted to spread the word that this new app exists and that people should go check it out. I will go find the URL for this and report back later in the show about how to find it. But if you Google for something like NYS COVID app, I imagine you're going to get pretty darn close. But I will come back with that URL.
Yeah, it appears the thing is COVID Alert New York.
That's the one.
And I will put a link.
And it's in the Play Store. It's in the Apple App Store. Go get it. Doesn't cost a dime. It can really help everyone, and make sure that you're notified so that you can do something about it if you may have come in contact with someone.
One thing we should mention, I don't know if we did at the beginning of the hour, is like, obviously Steve isn't here, but so a lot of the YouTube cameras and that type of stuff are not up. So if you're looking to see us streaming in that, you only can hear the video.
Right. That's right.
And the sound, no video.
And everybody will tell you that I am just as handsome over the radio with my voice as I am in person. So
he is. It's unbelievable. How do I get? Oh, I see. You can't get to the App Store on the phone. Is that on the computer? Is that how that works?
On a browser, you can see previews of apps.
I've just been trying to find the URL.
Oh, I'll send it your way.
Okay.
And but we can make sure that everybody gets it, and we'll post a link to it, perhaps?
Yes. Okay. Well, I'll post once we have both of those links.
All right, you talk, and I'll go find it.
Yeah. All right. In that case, I'll read another news item. Ha, 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 ha.
Very good.
A novel idea.
What do we got now?
There are a few odd problems with the September Microsoft patches.
What?
I'm glad you're sitting. But they're relatively sporadic and reasonably well understood. That makes it a good time to get the outstanding updates installed, though you should avoid all the optional patches, particularly the e-week optional non-security patch KB4577063. The number in Bayonne is 4577063, fixing two well-known bugs and many dozens of lesser bugs, none of which were ever officially documented, by the way, in the latest release version of Windows 10. You're far better off waiting for those temporary patches to get baked into Windows 10 version 2004 itself before even thinking about moving to 2004, even if a third of all Windows 10 users are now running version 2004.
Whether they want to or not.
Let's hear it for the masses who are who are the guinea pigs. Of course, make a full system image backup before you install any patches, particularly the latest ones. There is a non-zero chance that the patches, even the latest, greatest patches of patches of patches, will hose your machine. It's best to have a backup that you can reinstall, even if your machine refuses to boot. This comes in addition to the usual need for system restore points. And, of course, you can go to asknick.com/backups.php and see a list of all the available backup programs, many of which do full system backups. If you haven't yet moved to Windows 10 version 1909, you really should. The bugs in version 1903 are largely replicated in 1909 and vice versa, so there's little reason to hold off making the switch. Although, admittedly, there's almost nothing worthwhile that's new in version 1909. If you're running Windows 10 version 2004, you're out there near the bleeding edge, even if a third of all Windows 10 users are running that version. To get the latest September cumulative update installed, click Start, Settings, Update, and Security. If you see a Resume Updates box, click on it. That's all you need to do. Windows, in its infinite wisdom, will install the September cumulative update at its own pace. If you don't see a Resume Updates box, you already have the September cumulative update and you're good to go. If you see an offer to download and install the feature update to Windows 10 version 2004, which you can ignore it. Just ignore the feature update. Let's give version 2004 at least another month or so to bake. And while you're at it, make sure you've saved a clean, completely legitimate copy of version 2004. We talked about that last week or the week before. If you see a link to view optional updates or download and install optional updates, ignore it too. There are no optional updates available at this point that you really want to have to deal with. Let the frontline volunteers take the first volleys. When your machine comes back up for air, don't panic if your desktop doesn't look right or you can't log into your usual account. You've been bit by the temporary profile bug, which we've known about and complained about for months. Try restarting your machine four or five times. The bug may go away. And, of course, you can expect a new Chromium-based version of Edge to appear whether you want it or not. So how'd your upgrade go? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Just like Vivian did. From Honey Hello. I Falls, Honeyoy, New York, or Honey I Falls?
Honeyoy.
Okay. How are things in Honeyoy?
Just ducky, so thank you. a couple of weeks ago, I called you because I was going to get a new computer, and I wanted to know about backup, and I did what you said, and it worked out wonderful. Thank you.
Excellent.
Whoa, we got to write that down. It actually worked.
Nice.
Yes.
Mark the date.
Yeah, mark that one down, Nick.
Unbelievable. I cannot believe that.
That's the craziest news I've heard all week. And it's been a weird week.
But at the time, I forgot to ask you. I have an HP Office Jet 5255, and I have not been happy with it since I got it. And my understanding is some printers are more friendly to Macs, because I have a Mac Air now.
Okay.
And so I don't know. I haven't had HPs all along. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure whether to go to a Canon or an Epson, or whether the HPs are better now, having being more compatible with their drivers with Macs.
Right, right. Well, printing is a very personal thing, and what's great mm-hmm. for you with printing might not be great for someone else. So I'm just going to ask a couple of questions, and that'll help us sure. direct our conversation. Is it important that you print in color?
Sometimes.
Okay. All right. So,
but not that much, yep.
All right. That's important to know. The reason I ask is there are many inexpensive laser printers which will generally outperform an inkjet printer in terms of cost per page. So those can be very helpful and useful things to use if that's important to you. But if color is still important to you, then the inkjet models are probably the best bet still for
okay.
you. I've had
okay.
really good luck with HP in the past, but I have heard that people have had more and more challenges with those. I've heard that Epson is also one that people have had some trouble with.
Okay.
The in general, HP has been pretty good.
Okay.
Other ones that I really like are Brother. Brother makes okay. some really nice printers that, and their drivers for the Mac are just that. They're just straight drivers. They don't add a lot of extra bells and whistles to them that end up causing trouble later on. So those are
okay.
that's a different line of printers that I can recommend.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. But the some of the inkjets might be more driver friendly now than they were in the past, or should we just ignore that?
The trick with HP equipment is to know to go to HP's website and find the support area. And if you can find the downloads section in the support area for your mm-hmm. model, you can get a listing of drivers. And sometimes they'll have a driver that's kind of all-in-one that has lots of extra stuff in it that you don't really need. Sometimes they'll mm-hmm. offer a download that is just the driver itself. And I generally recommend that because there's just less stuff to get in the way of the work mm-hmm. that you're trying to do.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate all your help, and have a good day.
Okay.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's... printing is...
It gets tricky.
It gets really tricky, yeah, mm-hmm. because I think you're right. Printing is a very personal thing to each person.
Yeah.
Yep.
Some people want to do photos. Some people just want straight text on a page, and
right.
that's all they care about.
All I ever print out anymore, ever, is the news for this show.
The notes for the show, so you can read them, right?
So I can, because I'm an old fashioned radio guy, and I like to read something on
right.
paper and toss it.
Well,
I'm done.
When, yeah, Dave Letterman style.
Yeah.
So when I was just a wee young computer user, it was very common to have a dot matrix printer.
Yep.
And you'd have to go buy inked ribbons for that. So the idea of printing in color was a very novel idea. As I got a little bit older, the bubble jet printers became more popular because laser printers were thousands and thousands of dollars
mm-hmm.
and just not
totally
available.
Out of reach.
Right. So they were fantastic, but they were just not something you could have in your house unless you were, you know, a member of the jet set. Yeah.
Right.
So the color inkjets were a really big deal when they came out, but I had so many problems with either ink cartridges that would dry out or sort of, you know, scab over.
They dry up in the lines.
Yeah.
And you don't use it every day.
And the worst part is, unless you got one with four separate tanks.
Right.
the minute you ran out of cyan,
you couldn't print anything.
Couldn't print anything.
Yep.
I did buy one of the ones with five separate tanks because when my daughter was young, she went through a blue period.
Okay.
She printed a whole page of just the color blue.
I see. it's been kind of tricky. I think that the universe of printers has probably gotten a lot better in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of cut the cord on color printing personally and went to black and white laser, and it's just something I don't even worry about anymore. I buy a new printer cartridge every 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
And when I need it, it's there, and it just kind of works.
My wife prints a lot of color labels for the coffee bins at the public market.
Sure.
We have a coffee stand there.
Yeah.
But she does that at Kinko's, and it's cheaper than buying a whole color laser printer and replacing all the color toners regularly.
Well, and sometimes clients will come to me and say, well, I really like to print photos so that I can put them in our photo albums or to give them as gifts. And I say, you can definitely spend money on a printer. You can definitely spend extra money on fancy paper. You can spend extra money on fancy inks. And when you're done, you're going to spend time on this too. I said, or you can go pick the photos, upload them to your local drugstore's website, and have them printed for, what, a nickel or a dime a piece?
Right.
Yeah, and there's so many places
and
that
just
you
go
can
pick
get
them,
up
them
at
now.
The
corner.
They'll deliver them to your house.
Right. And it's hard to justify spending the time, the money, and the effort on those things, doing it in your house, when you can get really good quality results just at the local corner store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's just, like you say, so ridiculous for what you have to do in commodities.
Sure.
And everything else. And like we've said for decades, you know, the price of the ink and what you're paying for.
Right.
You know, and
it's the most expensive liquid you can buy.
Yeah.
Way more expensive than oil.
That's why perfume or anything.
Well, that's why the printers are always so cheap.
Right.
They're not going to make the money up on the printer.
Yeah.
It's the commodities.
Yeah,
you know,
the razors
all that
link.
Yeah. All that money in the ink and that you're going to spend to, you know, do it. And like you say, I've gotten to where a lot of the stuff that I print is all black and white.
Yeah.
Unless I really need it in color for certain things, but that's rare. I'll keep it to my laser jet.
Right. Now the bonus, here's the bonus tip that nobody else wants you to know. So listen closer and lean into your radio. We'll make sure to tell you about it. If you need to buy replacement toner and you need to shop at one of the local stores, one that has a big bright red logo, and I won't mention which one, go ahead and go to the store and look on the shelf, and you'll see a price. And you'll notice the price may not be the same as that particular store's own website.
Right.
It may be off by a considerable percentage. So take your phone out, look up the same thing, take it to the register, and ask them to price match their own website. And they'll do it. And you can save yourself a considerable amount of money doing that. Also, don't be afraid to buy what I'll call the jumbo size toner cartridge.
Yeah, the black, I get that because the wife is printing so many recipes off and going through the different websites for printing off recipes. Yeah, and that's what I've gotten is the jumbo black.
Right. It'll help last a lot longer.
Yeah.
And your price per page goes down too. And it just makes a lot of sense.
Right. There's no
what would you
downside
say? Yeah.
to getting the larger cartridge in terms of you know, it's not a bigger cartridge, still fits in your in your thing. It just has more toner in it. And the upside is you get more pages for what ends up being less per page.
That's right. That's true.
I do the same. And I use a third-party cartridge. Brother doesn't have the sensor that says
chip.
This is not, like HP does.
Right.
That says this is not a genuine HP cartridge, so I'm just not going to play. but Brother doesn't do that, so I save money that way too. So I buy the bigger cartridge, the fuller. It's not bigger; it's fuller cartridge, and
more
also
capacity.
Third party. Yeah. So I'm saving even more money.
Yep.
With my Brother printer, so it's nice.
Now, all of this being said, color laser does exist. You can get a color laser printer,
and they're particularly if you get like a dye sub.
Oh yeah!
Oh lordy, they're lovely.
They're very nice, not cheap, but color laser printers, especially I think the Brother line has come down in price considerably, and some of the HPs as well. Where if you need color occasionally, that can be a good way to go, because unlike the inkjet color cartridge tanks, the toner is already dry. You know, it's not going to dry out. Right. It's a powder. So it lasts a good long time.
Uh-huh.
And I think the prices have come down to the point now where a color laser printer is about the same cost as what a black and white laser printer was 4 or 5 years ago.
Exactly.
So if you really got to have that color output periodically and you're willing to invest a little bit more upfront, then a color laser, this could be a great time to get into that. And it's worth looking into.
Or like you said, just sit there. There's so many online services now that you can get stuff printed.
Right.
So cheap.
Yep. If you don't need it, you know, this very minute, and you can plan ahead a little bit, there are ways to get around this.
Both Apple and Google, in their photo, online photo
yes.
storage things, mm-hmm. Will let you make books.
Yes, that's right. Actual printed bound books. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. So Amazon, too.
Yeah, and Amazon will do the same thing. So, you know, if you've got, I just grabbed 12 pictures. Mm-hmm. Say, give me a calendar, and I got Christmas gifts.
Yes.
Done.
Well, there
was shopping for you. You're done already.
There's this one software package that I was using, and the manual, the PDF, comes, and it's like 204 pages.
Oh, my right? goodness.
And it's like, yeah, I'm not going to sit there and blow through all my ink. So I went online, and I found this service that's dirt cheap. For, you know, doing that much.
Mm-hmm.
And I ordered it, and it came in color.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And it was like, whoa. It, you know, I didn't go through all that paper, all that ink.
Right.
Like you say, that would go through that. And it came within a few days. And it had the three-hole punches and everything else on it. And I just threw it in a bucket. It's like, great.
And now you've got
you can
that.
Do that with the local. It's not Kinko's anymore. FedEx.
Sure.
You can do that locally as well. And just say, here it is. I want it. Double-sided, I want it in color, I want it three-hole punched, and put it in a binder for me.
And they'll even let you select the paper,
yeah.
whether you want a higher bond paper or a lower bond.
Yeah.
You know, and that affects your price, of course, but this, still the fact, because like you, I like to have the manual in front of me. Because instead of trying to scroll up and down pages, sure. I want to be able to put tabs on it.
Sure. Right.
And quick reference it while I'm doing stuff on the screen and look at it. And I found it very helpful. And like I say, it was so cheap.
Yeah.
And there are tests that have been done, research that's been done that says people learn better from paper.
Oh, I undoubtedly do. If I'm taking a class or if I'm researching something yeah. or if I'm studying for a certification exam, I think that's the first thing I do is I go and I print that out and I grab a pencil and I write in the margins and scribble all sorts of notes. Yep. And it's
and
for,
they
for me in the way
even
I
for young people who don't do books much.
Uh-huh.
They learn better that way.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
All right, that music tells us you've wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense. But holy cow, you don't have to be that bright. You're going to get the opportunity to do it again. Before I forget, I have placed links on the Soundbites website to that. To the COVID alert NY thing, you'll see that down there. You'll see that listed as one of the posts. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You can give us a call, by the way, 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415, or text us at 585-205-8887. And we will be back with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour, you're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great. And truly grateful to you as we continue to remain member-supported Jazz 90.1. Before the break, we were talking to the great Dennis Worcester.
Hello.
About the New York State COVID-19
exposure
alert
tracing app.
Yeah,
and then during the break, you installed it. And what did you think?
I was very impressed. It's real easy to do. I suspect it will wear down my battery a little more.
Possibly.
But that's okay. I'd rather be safe with charging my phone more often than not. So that's fine with me. It's a trade-off I'm willing to make.
Well, and, you know, if you're in your house, you don't need to necessarily be running it. Unless right. You get a lot of people that are stopping by, I guess. But
frankly, I never need to run it. Except on Saturdays.
Well, yeah. And when you leave the house, you know, you flip it on. And hopefully that will help you be notified in case there's a reason that you need to be notified. You know,
right.
I'm not a doctor, so I won't make any claims. But I would say more information is better. Plus, it gives you a lot of interesting stats about what's going on in Monroe County or any other county that you choose. So if you are within the sound of our voice and here in New York, then I think that this is a reasonable thing to be doing.
Fewer than 1% of the people tested in Monroe County have tested positive.
That's great.
Today it was 1.25%, but the 7-day average is about 0.6%.
Right, right. And well, and I know that Monroe County is a little bit lower than some of the others.
Right, right. 39 well, people have tested positive today.
That's one thing that's been great about Rochester.
Right.
Is, you know, 90% of the folks are doing just what they suggested by the CDC.
Yeah, they get
and
it.
And that's just washing your hands, using the sanitizer, covering up a mask.
Yep.
You know, just to
and spreading out.
Keep everybody safe. And, you know, that's why right now New York State is one of the low ones. We're under 1%.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, we're out. We're doing stuff. We've got restaurants open and everything else, you know. I mean, because New York State's that great. You know, the people all come together and they know we got to do what we got to do. But you know what? We've been able to flatten the curve and, you know, we're here doing the radio show. We haven't been had to miss a week. So, you know, we've been here for you folks. And that's what's great about it is,
yep.
You know, we're all pulling together on this.
That's right. So run over to the App Store or the Google Play Store and pick this up. Like I mentioned before, it's completely free to do. It doesn't cost a dime, and it can really help you and help the people you care about.
Yeah, and it's we have a link in on the Soundbites website. Also, by the way, I should mention today, on this date in 1955,
drum roll,
Captain Kangaroo and the Mickey Mouse Club debuted.
Oh my goodness!
Whoa,
Bob Keeshan,
whew. Jimmy Dodd, and Roy. I forget Roy's last name. I love that. That was my favorite part of the show. It's like, you know, hi, Bobby, Annette, blah, 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 Jimmy,
Roy.
Yeah, the big heavy guy.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Roy.
But yeah, it was on this date in 1955, both of those shows debuted. Man, that was a good time to be a kid, which I was at that time, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, same here.
So yeah, that was that. But yeah, so give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll free, 1-800-790-0415, or text us at 585-205-8887 and tell us why you did or did not download the COVID-19 Alert New
yep.
York app.
That's one thing we got into at work.
What's that?
One time at lunch, we're sitting around and talking about old TV shows.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, you know, the remotes and that. And we go, yeah, we were the remote. Dad would yell, get up, turn the channel. But we're sort of having a contest who could remember old TV shows.
Having an old off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some of these, you know, drivers that are, let's say, younger than I.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They're saying, well, I remember this and I remember this. And I go, I think I can beat you on that. Yeah, well, I remember pretty much all of them. I said, okay, how about, oh, let's say, Winky Dink?
Pluck your magic twanger, Froggy.
They go, what? You're making that up. I said, oh, no. We used to have, because we had a TV that was only the size of a postage stamp, and you had to put the screen up.
I had one of those.
Clear, oh, they go, yeah. You're making that up. So, yeah, thank goodness for Google.
Oh, yeah.
I was able to Google Winky Dink set.
Well, you should have put some money on this first.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, man.
the folks that I work with are great folks.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we all have a lot of fun, you know, in sharing history and all this other stuff. And so I was able to pull it up. And there you go. Huh. Damn, you're old. Thank you.
Oh, man.
You know you're old when you get together with a bunch of people and you're all singing old theme songs.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And from everybody else is just looking at you.
Bat Masterson and Daniel Boone and shows like that.
Oh, man.
And like Felix the Cat.
Felix the Cat.
Yeah.
The wonderful, wonderful cat.
I've seen a couple of episodes of that.
Oh, that was great. That was very trippy stuff.
Now, when I grew up, it was stuff that, well, you'll probably recognize. For me, it was the Buckaroo Bob Club.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Here in town. And that was a local studio that was putting that together. And they were showing old episodes of The Three Stooges and other cartoons. And he would do bumpers in between those and do little skits. And as a kid, you know, first, second grade, I thought that was the greatest thing ever. And
same thing with Skipper Sam.
And it was a local guy.
Yeah. Well, I can do you one even. When I was a kid, we would go down to the Lowe's Theater downtown during the holidays.
Oh, sure.
And for 50 cents, you could go to the Lowe's at the holidays, like for Thanksgiving and Christmas. They'd have that Saturday before the holiday, and you could go in for 50 cents and watch a full morning of cartoons.
Yep.
And it went from like 8 o'clock in the morning till 11, and then at Christmas time it would end, and then Santa would be up on stage.
Yep.
And you could go up and get this box of candy.
Yep.
That sounds great.
But
and
yeah,
your mother would drop you off and,
yeah, and pick
go
you up.
Shopping and pick you up and you were done.
Yeah. She'd do her Christmas shopping and yep. Boom.
Yep. Done. Those were definitely the days.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. All right. Let me read this this news item. We could reminisce about this stuff all day long, but more interesting to most of our listeners would probably be the fact that on Monday, error messages were popping up on iPhones and Macs due to Apple server issues. Apple's status page noted an outage that affected many of its connected services that serve music, video, and pictures. Apple TV Plus, Apple Music, Photos, and more were either running slowly or not at all for many people. Some were unaffected, but the majority of Apple users were. According to the status menu, the issue began just after 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Monday. This outage came just a day after Microsoft's Outlook and Office 365 services had authentication problems, and just a few days after similar problems hit Google's G Suite for a couple of hours. As of 11 p.m. Eastern Time, Apple's status page was updated, indicating the services were back online. There's no cause listed, but you should be able to connect reliably again. As I said, Apple's not the only one hit this week or this last week or two. All three of the big services were hit. Nobody's talking, but it's unlikely all the three of them were independent, unrelated, coincidental events.
Yeah,
I think.
Many of us use one or more of these online services, but it's not a bad idea where possible to keep local backup copies of anything you really want to have always available instantly. Were you bothered by one of these outages? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Or text us at 585-205-8887.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was not affected because I don't have Apple stuff.
There it is.
But last week I was not affected by the Google outage because on that day I was writing code, and I don't use the Microsoft stuff either.
Right.
Yeah, same here.
So, but a lot of people were, a lot of companies use them, And if they don't have a local setup of that stuff,
yeah,
they were affected. And a lot of people, my daughter is a distance worker,
mm-hmm.
and she could not log into any of the team stuff or
yes.
the office.
Yeah, anything that was relying on what they call Active Directory that's being hosted by Microsoft in their cloud. They call their cloud Azure.
What was that, Thursday?
It was earlier.
Last week, yeah.
Earlier last week, yeah.
Well, this week we just had a problem. The services that my company uses, all of a sudden, because we use tablets.
Okay.
Throughout all our vehicles,
uh-huh.
we have tablets. And we were having all kinds of problems bringing up maps, you know, getting schedules and everything else. It was just like the internet was just wonking.
That may have been a different issue.
Yeah.
That may have been an issue with your carrier, too.
Well,
we got
Verizon, but, you know, it's the Microsoft.
Right. It may have been that
maps.
Same day. It may have been, if it's Microsoft's products, it
yeah,
may have been
it
that
was
day
the mapping that, program yeah. that we use. And,
oh, I see.
The Azure, here's a little bit of trivia for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Microsoft used to be back in the early days, if you based it on what the company made the most money from,
uh-huh.
they were a hardware company.
Microsoft. Okay.
They made an 8086 board for Apple IIs.
Interesting. Okay.
And that was the thing they sold the most. No, that was the thing they made the most money on.
Dollars.
Right. That's different from most sales.
Units. Yeah.
Then they were a software company because
right.
they made Windows.
Yeah.
Now they're a cloud company because where they make most of their money,
mm-hmm.
the vast majority, in fact, of their money is from Azure.
Right. And I think Amazon is the same way, that they're making more money from their hosting capabilities than they are from...
Yep.
From moving
but
physical
that's
goods.
One of the reasons people think that we're having so much trouble with Windows updates. Microsoft doesn't care anymore. It's not where they make their money. They're trying to move people to the cloud.
Yeah.
They've been saying for 2 years to their investors, and you do not lie to the investors.
Yeah, there's rules about that sort of thing.
Right. Right. Not just because you don't want them to take their money out, but because there are legal ramifications
yeah,
if you
that
do.
Securities and Exchange Commission.
That stuff.
Those folks.
Yeah.
No sense of humor whatsoever.
None. Zero. but they've been saying for 2 years that they want to move Windows to a subscription service,
sure.
which means it comes from the cloud.
Right. Well, just like they you know, and they started that with Office years ago, and Adobe started
and
it
Office
with the Creative Suite.
And Office 365 does
sure.
it. Right, 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 right.
It's not an unusual thing.
And so, that's why also
anymore.
You don't get a software anymore.
Right.
Because like you said, you're leasing it.
Right.
You're only leasing it. You don't get a CD now to reinstall it in there. You've got to go up to Microsoft website and get
and
the,
pull
image
down the image
down.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, and to be completely pedantic about it. You've always just been licensing it. You've never
right.
really owned
yeah.
it.
You've never owned a Microsoft product.
You've owned the ability to use it.
Right. yeah. You owned a license to use it on one device.
Right.
Yep.
Then eventually on up to five devices.
And the weirdest part is if you actually read that license agreement, they specifically say, we don't really guarantee that this is going to work for any particular purpose.
It's like a Western Union. Did you ever... Of course, let's talk old. Did you ever read the guarantee on the back of a Western Union form?
Okay, go ahead.
It basically said, we may or may not make up to one attempt to deliver your message.
Between
That's
zero
what
and
it boiled down
somewhere
to.
Somewhere between zero and one attempts.
Yes.
Money,
now,
please.
In practice, they made many more attempts.
Sure.
Right. But what they guaranteed was up to one attempt.
Right.
And that's basically the way Microsoft's guaranteed
yeah,
works.
Yeah, their end user license agreement.
Yeah.
All right, we got a question here. It says, good afternoon, gentlemen. This is Mark. I called you last week about the text message to keep going silent with my notifications. I did all the resets on my iPhone 11, and the problem still persists. Would appreciate any other ideas.
Okay. I wasn't here for last week. Can somebody bring me up to speed?
Probably not.
All right. Well, here's what I can read. Reading between the lines, it sounds like the notification
basically text
wasn't making any noise.
Turned off, right?
And it was going silent, so things were showing up, and they weren't being notified about it.
Right.
Okay.
Now the first thing to check is to have do you have it on not do not disturb?
Yeah, that would be good.
That's important. You can I'm assuming on an iPhone it's the same way. You can set specific times, or you can just turn it on.
Right. Yep. Yeah, you can do that.
For example, I have it set to do not disturb during the show.
It's a little button that has a picture of a moon on it.
So, right.
And that generally means don't bug me while I'm trying to sleep.
Right.
And you can tell it when to automatically turn back on and make noise again. Naturally, we also have to check on hardware things, like does the phone make any noise through its speaker at all, period. Most times these days, that's a relatively reliable unit. So that's something going on.
Can you turn off notifications in the messaging app itself?
Great question.
Thank you.
I'll find out.
I just asked a great question.
Because I found with my messaging system, it seems I can't mute that thing. Even though phone calls and everything else gets muted, you know, because like you, the Google phone is set every Saturday. Do not interrupt me between noon and 2 o'clock. It's just automatically. And right now you look at it, it's got like a half moon thing.
Yeah.
For do not disturb. And it does it. Except for the stupid text messaging thing.
Well, you can turn that on and off, so you must have turned it on again, because I'm on Do Not Disturb right now myself.
Well, I think it's the the messaging app that I'm using.
Oh, I see, because you're not using the Google app.
Right. Yeah. On the iPhone, you can go into the settings and then into notifications, and then if you scroll, you can go down to messages. Inside there, you can select a custom sound that happens when a message comes in. And all right, I'll keep looking for other things.
Yeah, but yeah, theoretically, certainly on some operating systems with some products, you can turn on or off the notifications for your messages separate from the operating system notifications.
Or the ringer, yeah.
They're getting just like computers. Well, they are a computer in a sense. They're just not generic, you know, just like computers now that, you know, depends on what motherboard's in it, what video card, memory and everything else, because no two computers, even though they came off the same line, they could have different motherboards in them. Same with these other devices. They could have different things in them that make them up, and all bets are off on how they're going
to
work.
You can also go to settings and go to sounds and haptics. And check the ringer and alerts slider for the volume there. And that will to let you know what's going on there. You can also set your text tone there just to make sure that you can hear it. You can pick it. That's what mine sounds like. It's from a Disney cartoon from decades ago. And you can make sure that it makes noise that way and see if it's working. So that way it'll let you know if it's playing the sound correctly, or if it's a custom sound you have, there might be something corrupted with it. Maybe I'm kind of grasping at straws, but there are a few different things you can check. And if all else fails, you can go back to the settings app, and in general, I believe you can scroll all the way to the bottom and do a full reset of the phone and see if that helps you. And if that doesn't work, then you can also re-image the operating system of the phone through your computer.
Okay, perfect.
You know, so those are some different things you can check. But I would kind of start with the easy stuff first. See if you can actually get it to play the sound that you're expecting to play, and make sure that your speaker actually works. Make sure that the volume's turned up, and then it only do the big, lengthy things if you really, really have to.
Yeah, right. Start. That's the basics of troubleshooting. Start with the simplest thing, and go from there. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from Ithaca, New York. Hi, Steve. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I love your show.
Thank you.
I recently reformatted an old laptop with Linux Mint, and I'm having fun playing with that.
Oh, very good.
But I do most of my work on a Windows tower, and I'm using pCloud, thanks to you guys. So
thank you.
I have all my data, you know, my files, backed up in the cloud and backed up on external hard drives. But until recently, from the control panel, you know, just doing a Windows backup to the C drive, just in case, I get a weird error message, weird to me anyhow. It fails, and it says, please check VSS in caps and SPP in caps. Now I have an error code. And online searches, you can find those letters, but I don't know what that is. Do you guys know what that is and what I might be doing wrong?
Do you know if this message is coming from pCloud?
Oh, no. This is just plain Windows. No, I just threw that pCloud in there to say that I'm not worried about my data. I just want to know, you know, if my computer won't boot someday, you know, I want to be able to have a bootable backup. And when I try to use the Windows way to do that, you know, where it says Win7 in the control panel.
Right.
Yeah. That's the error message. So, I mean, I was unable, Nick, to find out what the heck VSS and SPP. I've never seen that before. And I know you're a Linux man, but you're also the guru. So,
is it SPT as in Sam Peter Thomas?
Yes, SPP in caps, Sam Peter Paul.
Oh, Sam Peter Paul. Okay.
Yeah. Polo. Sam Peter Polo, and the other one is V, you know, Victory Sam.
Okay.
In caps. It says check.
Okay, VSS. Okay. Okay, so VSS is the volume shadow copy. I don't know why it's VSS. Volume shadow service. And what that does is that is what is used to create backup copies or snapshots of Windows files, drivers, everything. You can save it locally, you can save it externally. If it cannot be created, it's usually one of four things that you can do. Make sure the VSS and SPP services are actually running. They may have been stopped. SPP is the Software Protection Service, and I don't know why it's SPP, but it's Microsoft, so.
But
check the status of those and make sure they're still running. Often if you reboot, they come back. In addition, they will fail if you're out of storage space on that external device you're trying to save to.
Definitely not that. It's something, it's got to be something more subtle.
It may be that your third-party security software is blocking it.
Okay.
Because one of the things that it does is it copies some files an antivirus or security software program will assume is somebody trying to screw around with your operating system.
I hear the music.
Yeah, we got to take a quick break. Do you want to hang up or do you want to stay on the line?
I'll stay on.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Steve from Mythica, and you. It's 30 minutes after the hour at Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm still Dennis Worcester.
Steve, I know, even though I called him Steve earlier. I just, you get in a role.
It's all right. I've been growing out my beard.
We get into habits.
Yeah, we do. We get into it. Just starts to roll off. It's 35 minutes after the hour, and we've still got Steve from Ithaca on the line.
I'm still here. Thank you.
Yeah. So at any rate, those are the things you can try. Like I said, make sure the services are actually running. Check the amount of storage space you have on the drive you're going to. The likeliest one is if you have enough storage space, the likeliest problem is some security software is simply preventing the VSS and SPPs from running.
Okay. In the same vein, do you have any thoughts on the software? I don't know how to pronounce it. AOMEI Backup Professional. Capital AOMEI.
I have not used it. I'm sorry, I have not used it.
No, it's a new one to me, too.
Sorry.
New one, okay. Okay. Thank you. This has been a little frustrating. I'm glad my files are safe, but not being able to, you know, to do a regular backup a la Windows is frustrating, but I'll keep picking away at it.
All right. And if you find a good solution, be sure and call back and let us know.
I certainly will. And I remember Winky Dink, too.
Yeah, thank you.
Woohoo! Here's how old I am. My little brother watched it.
Wow.
Ah, there you go.
There you are. But you're definitely old now.
Congratulations.
I plunked the magic twanger many times.
As did we all. As did we all.
Okay, listen, thank you. Keep up the great work, gentlemen. Appreciate
thanks.
It.
Bye, thank
Steve.
You.
Okay.
Bye all now. Right, thanks. He did mention pCloud, which is a backup solution that I myself use. They have a lifetime subscription, which is ludicrously cheap compared to all the other stuff. It's $175 for a one-time.
Oh, really?
For half a gig.
Okay. Forever?
Forever.
Until they decide to not do it?
Well, somebody's lifetime, whether it's theirs or yours, I'm not sure.
The drives?
Right. You can also get a 2-terabyte version for $350.
Okay.
And, of course, if you get it through the link on my backup page, I get a penny or two, which is always appreciated.
Keeps the
lights on at Soundbites.
At Chateau Francesco.
Exactly. So if you wanted to check that out or any of the other backup solutions that I list them for Windows, Mac, Linux, Android, and iOS.
Yes.
So you can just go to asknick.com/backup.php and you will see them there.
And just like when your dentist says, only brush the teeth you want to keep, yes. I say, only backup the data you want to keep.
That's very clever. Yeah, you definitely want to do that. But there are many backup solutions. I don't list the one that
AOMEI.
I don't have that. The one that Steve mentioned, but I have a bunch of them listed there, including EaseUS, which we were talking about at some point.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty nice. They're pretty nice products. The thing I like about pCloud is it's basically set and forget.
Right.
You know, once you buy it, you set it up, you're done forever.
Right.
It just automatically backs up everything for you.
Nice.
All right, back to the phone.
Nope.
All right, we got a text message from Bob from Irondequoit.
Yep.
All right. So go
having
ahead.
Trouble
Hit
putting
me with
music.
That one.
Having trouble putting music on iTunes from a laptop.
Right.
What we don't know is whether it's a Mac,
iPhone alone. It's an iPhone 11.
Okay.
And he's trying to put music from his laptop to his phone.
All right. Well. Given that he hasn't specified what kind of laptop it is, I am going to make that choice for him and say that he's using a Mac laptop because that makes the answer a lot easier to give.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Like we've told folks, you know, you got to give us all the information.
Otherwise, we make it up.
That's right. And we'll insert whatever's easier for us. So if you have a Mac laptop and you want to move things to the phone, the music is probably the most common one. There's an app in the Mac that's literally called Music, and that app lets you pick items from your music library and then move them over to your phone. It's relatively straightforward. the more common approach these days, if you are listening to what I'll call pre-recorded CDs or other things, chances are good they exist in a music service. And it's also very common to pay a relatively few number of dollars per month and have access to a music service so that you can stream and also retain a copy of certain pieces of music to listen to whenever you feel like it. So let's say you're driving and you're on a road trip and you find a few songs you like, you can literally press a button to download those to your phone. And then if you go through a section of the country where you don't have cell signal anymore and no ability to move data, you can still listen to those pieces of music.
Or if you don't have unlimited data.
Or yes, that's true. Yeah, if you're trying to conserve that, that's another way to do it. But in general, if you have a laptop, the music app on a recent version of macOS will be the way to go.
And that music app replaced that and a couple of others replaced.
Replaced iTunes.
iTunes itself.
iTunes got split up into music and podcasts so that those things did not quite take up all the same real estate that they used to under iTunes. It got very complex and very confusing as iTunes grew over, you know, nearly 20 years.
Right. One of the things I've always liked about Linux is apps do one thing.
Yes,
programs,
that's true.
Programs do one thing.
Right. That was the Unix philosophy.
Right. And so when they started piling crap into iTunes,
yeah,
it just got really confusing.
That's true. Yeah,
splitting it up was a very good idea.
Well, yeah, because at first it was just show me my music files.
Exactly.
Let me play CDs and just that. And then it was let me do those things, but let me also move those files over to my iPod. And then it was, hey, there are these things called podcasts that I want to listen to and I want to subscribe to and get the freshest copy and listen to them on my computer or on my iPod. And then there was, hey, there's this new thing called the iPhone. I want to be able to sync my things over to that, too. And then it was
movies
and TV shows, and sometimes you're renting them and sometimes you're buying them. And all of those things together just got more and more complicated. And, you know, that was just kind of the tip of the iceberg. So I'm kind of glad that they, what we say in the industry, refactored things and,
right,
and split those up a little bit. It makes them a lot easier to answer questions about.
Right. Okay, back to the phones. Our next caller is Judy from Webster, New York. Hi, Judy. What's up?
Good afternoon. Thank you guys for all you do, by the
way. Thank you.
My HP MV printer, I think, is biting the dust because when I print, it grinds.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay.
I'm looking for a new printer. And I was looking at the 9015 Office Jet in the 7855 inkjet, but what is the difference between an office jet and an inkjet? Is there a difference?
An inkjet is strictly
liquid ink.
Liquid ink in the little cartridges. In the little cartridges, and really, the office jet is also an inkjet printer. So at that point, there's no real difference. Generally speaking, the office jets have larger cartridges that hold more ink because they're designed to be used in an office.
Yeah, I saw that the office jet prints 2,000 pages versus the 600 for the other.
Exactly.
But when I was, I stopped one place just to look at printers, and the guy was trying to talk me into an Epson tank.
Epson also makes very nice printers. There's a little secret to retail, and that's the spiff. SPIFF. I don't know why they call it a spiff. They just do.
But a spiff is
just an incentive to the salesman to sell you a specific device. So the Epson tank may have a spiff on it, which means he gets points or money or, you know, whatever it is,
right,
if you buy that particular piece of equipment.
All right. So that's one.
And it's not just computers that do that. Everything does that.
Yeah. So that's the cynical take on it. I'll suspend my disbelief for a moment and say, all right, let's say that person was being legitimate and had a legitimate recommendation. What are we talking about? Well, Epson has a product called the Eco Tank, and sometimes they also call it the Super Tank, refillable ink tank. And that is a tank that you can have on the printer itself that you can get low-cost replacement inks, and the tanks are refillable so that you can spend less on cartridges because they're really just selling you the ink and not the entire cartridge. I think in general, those are a great idea. I don't have a lot of experience with them myself, but I do think they've been on the market long enough where if they were a giant problem, we probably would have heard about it by now.
Recalls.
Right. The theory is, yes, they do have excellent print quality. Epson makes good printers to begin with.
They've been doing it forever.
And yeah, and the ink does cost significantly less than the cartridge-based printers do, than the ink for the cartridge-based printers.
So I would say I have not heard anything bad about them, but I don't have a lot of experience with them. I think if you're feeling that the other ones are not really meeting your needs, or if that brand is not one that you're excited about anymore, that it might be worth taking a look at that and trying it out. And if it doesn't work within the return period that your retailer has, then, you know, there's no huge risk there, and it might be worth a shot.
Right. And the other thing to remember is that, as with all inkjet printers, if you don't use them within a certain period of time, the print heads begin to dry out.
Right. Yeah, the print heads are very, very narrow and squirt the ink on the paper, and it's very easy for those to get dry, crusty ink on them so that the ink doesn't move through.
And certain versions of the EcoTank, the 7700 and the 7750, do have a five-color ink system, and that lets you print high-quality photos.
Right. So it could be worth a shot.
All right. Well, I've always had HP printers, and they've always served me well. But the ink does, you know, cost a lot when I, because this 9015, the ink is like $105 or something.
Yeah, right. That's considerable. Yep.
But you get 2,000 pages out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right. And if you do a lot of printing, you know, everybody's, as Dennis said earlier, everybody's printing situation is unique. So if you do a lot of pages and you do a lot of color pages, an EcoTank could be well worth it.
Okay.
Okie doke. Well,
thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Good Thanks. Luck.
Yeah, it's tricky. You know, it's one of the toughest things to do when you're working with a client is to pick a printer that they're going to love. It requires that you do a lot of homework to know what's on the market, and it requires that you do a lot of homework with them to know what's important to them and what they're telling you, and also what you think they might grow into, or how their needs might change over time.
Right.
There's a lot to keep track of. So right. Do we have one more caller?
We do. Tom from Greece, New York. Hiya, Tom. What's up?
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Peachy, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. Listen, Nick, I've got a Lennox that you suggested to switch over to, and I'm pretty happy with it. I do have, which you said usually doesn't happen, but I've got a slight virus going on there, I can tell, and I don't really have anything in there to, you know, any system to fight that, whatever, however you want to explain that.
Right.
Because I can tell you, when I turn it off, before it totally goes off, this black screen comes up, and I'm thinking it's code, like code.
Yeah.
And then it finally shuts off. So it's doing something in there, and it wasn't doing that before. And again, you know, it still runs okay, but I'm thinking this virus, there's a virus in there. And so how am I going to clear that?
Okay, a couple of things. First, that code you're seeing at the back end when you're shutting it down could be just simply perfectly legitimate. That's usually hidden, but it can show up. On the other hand, if you wanted to run antivirus software, what version of Linux are you running?
It's Ubuntu 18.04.
Okay, you have a product called Clam AV.
Clam, like in the ocean?
Yeah, CLAMAV. Okay. And it comes with a couple of different parts, including Clam AV. When you install that, you also get Clam Scan, which is the actual scanner, and et cetera, et cetera. Now, if you install that as root, which is, of course, how you normally install everything. It'll set itself up to run in the background on your system, and you'll be able to use it for pretty much anything that you have, and it'll do that. So you just simply say apt-get install clam AV, and it installs the background daemon and the scanner and the updater, which is called Fresh Clam. And it'll all run automatically for you,
okay.
And it should be fine. Like I said, it is quite likely that you do not have a virus, that what you're seeing is legit and normal.
But okay.
You can run, and I suggest that everybody who runs Linux runs some antivirus. ClamScan is fine.
Yeah.
And one nice thing about ClamScan is you can also run it. Depending on the version, I don't remember 1804 because I use that uses GNOME and I use XFCE. But in some of them, you can, for example, right-click on a folder and in the drop-down will be scan this for viruses. So,
okay.
Yeah, so you can, you know, not only does it scan automatically every day, but you can scan files or folders by hand. So if you download something from the internet, you can scan it directly yourself.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, because this thing, when it shuts down, it wasn't doing that all the time. It happened, I'm going to say, well, it's been going on for about a year or so.
But yeah, that can happen, and that is quite normal.
Okay, so because it wasn't doing that before that.
Right. Well, it was doing it in the background, and then some screen that normally was over that is gone now for whatever reason.
Okay.
And so you're seeing it. You can set it, generally speaking, and I don't remember exactly where, but you can set it to hide that or show it. And a lot of people like to show it because it's got some diagnostic tools in it. So if you see any red lines go by, you can see, you know, what's going on. But
I don't have a clue how to read that.
Right. All right, we got to move on.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks. Good luck with that. But you're fine. It's a fairly normal thing. It's a completely normal feature of Windows.
Okay.
Of
Linux.
Ubuntu. I was looking at the
word. It would pop out of that GUI mode and drop down to text mode again when it shuts down.
It's the same kind of thing you see if you're running a Raspberry Pi. You often see that startup stuff.
The flyby.
And sometimes you see
the
stuff.
Getting things situated.
Right. Okay, we've got just a couple of minutes, so let's talk to Joel from Pittsford, New York. Hi, Joel. What's up?
Hi, well, I've got a solution for Steve from Ithaca.
Okay.
Oh, good.
The volume shadow copy service can only work with one app at a time. So he apparently has pCloud working in the background, and when he's trying to do another backup, it's recognizing that it's already tied into pCloud. I had the same situation. I use Macrium, and I was backing up to a Synology server. And I also have Carbonite, and I found out that I have to turn off Carbonite temporarily in order to let the Volume Shadow copy service work with the Macrium background. So only one at a time. So if he can turn off pCloud temporarily while he's doing that background, it should work.
Perfect.
Also, I have an Epson EcoTank, and I'm very happy with it. I've replaced a laser and an inkjet with it.
Ah, nice.
So very good.
Thanks, guys. Okay. Yep. Bye-bye.
All right. I love coming here because I always learn something.
Exactly. I love the fact that our listeners know more than we do and will call in and solve problems
we'll
for us.
Happily be the middlemen and let people talk to each other and just step out of the way.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Don't make that go too far away. I'm going to need it in a minute myself.
The hand sanitizer, that is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good.
But we are pretty much out of time. So those of you who are now calling in, I really have to, again, say you've got to call earlier.
Yeah. Calling 5 minutes before the show ends.
Well, 2 minutes before the show ends at this point.
We do appreciate
started
the
calling.
Interest.
Right.
We got a lineup there.
Right. We do have a lineup of callers, and we can't get to all of you till the end of the show. And you need to call much earlier to get in, and I apologize for that. Or, of course, you can join us tomorrow night on Itzy.
That's true.
Jitsi. And ask your questions there.
Yeah.
Just go to soundbites.org/Jitsi, J-I-T-S-I. And tomorrow night at 9 p.m., there will be a link to get into the chat. We'll see how well that works. This is an experiment.
Right.
You're all beta testers, so
right.
It may fail miserably.
Let us know what you think.
But we're going to give it a try. All right, that's the end of the show. I want to thank Dave Enright. I especially want to thank Dennis Worcester,
who is
not Steve Ray,
true.
But sat in for Steve Ray.
That also true.
And we appreciate it every time he does. It's always a joy to have him.
Happy to be here. Always fun.
Always fun. And thank you. And I'm Nick Francesco, and we're done for another week. Hopefully you will join us on Jitsi tomorrow, soundbites.org/Jitsi, J-I-T-S-I, all lowercase. And we'll see you next week on the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites right here on member supported Jazz 90.1. Be good to each other. We'll see you in 166 hours.